thought, oh, hi, how was your day? And I think, fuck off. What are you talking about? How was my day? My day has got absolutely nothing to do with you.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
That's so insightful, Chrissy. As long as you're diverting the attention away from your own bank account and giving the glory to God, everything's cool. It's all good, baby. You need a new plane? Get one. You want a Porsche? Drive it. You want to take that house? Claim it. Claim it.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and director of Kissy Face Services, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Can we sell you? I'm just asking a question.
Like Chrissy Farts?
Yeah. No, not Chrissy Farts in the jar. I don't want to get into all the nitty gritty. I can't take all that. That's too much for me. That's too much for me. I love you, but I don't want to know what your farts smell like. Not interested.
We did a whole show on somebody that had sold their
farts in a jar. Yeah,
context.
We all heard it. Yeah. The girl from 90 Day Fiancé. Which one? Well, I don't remember her name.
Now that I'm in the mix of that whole...
Yeah, you're down the rabbit hole now.
Ecosystem.
Huh? Yeah. Wow, this 90 Day Fiancé the other way, this newest season, I was watching it last night, like the tell-all. It is clear. They must have a psychologist on staff that rejects the people that are absolute, that are any semblance of normal and take only the fucked up ones. Because every single relationship that they showcase has some kind of serious issue going on in it, and the other person is too blind to see it.
Right.
Or they're both so whacked out that they're just, it's the most shit showy of shit shows, and they do it on purpose. You know that they do. And then these tell-alls end up being... So listen to this. I'll just share with you a little bit about this. Ready?
Okay.
Guy is dating a transsexual woman. Mm-hmm. The transsexual woman, he goes over to London to meet his... It's 90 Day the other way. So they are going to the other country.
The other country, right.
To meet up with them and spend some time with them, and then eventually, I assume, coming back to America. Yeah. Marry them, possibly come back to America. But they're just showcasing that they're in another country meeting up with this person they've only known online. So one of the couples, a transsexual woman and a man, and they date, and everything seems fine at first. They have sex. The producers ask both of them independently if they had sex the night before. The trans woman says yes. The man says no. And the trans woman then gets very upset about this. She feels like he's trying to hide.
Yeah.
He's embarrassed. He didn't want to do it. He wants to keep his friends out of the loop. He doesn't want his parents to know. He doesn't want his family to know. You can understand. That probably gets right inside your fucking head.
But he's going on a show that this is broadcast.
God damn it! He's on television!
No.
He's never... Dude, own it. It's cool.
Yes.
Who fucking cares anyway?
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. Whatever's clever. I don't care. I think the storyline is interesting because the two people are interesting. It doesn't matter what parts you're using to have sex. Own it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, at some point, it becomes clear that she is feeling very sensitive about and jealous of the fact that he is outgoing. He's a little slick with his words. He's not necessarily transparent about everything. So she's starting to sense that he's a little bit bullshitty. She's been hurt in the past, and she doesn't want some player, essentially. Okay,
right.
Ready?
Makes sense.
The last episode of regular television programming for 90 Day Fiancé the other way shows that they have an argument because he is cooking a Thanksgiving dinner for this woman and her friend. And he mentions that he was at a bar earlier in the day and he met this very nice lady who he invited to dinner.
What?
But she didn't show up. Okay, so there's... So this guy goes to a strange bar in a strange country, knowing no one, bellies up to the bar, meets a woman, invites her over for dinner.
For Thanksgiving dinner.
For Thanksgiving dinner. They don't even celebrate Thanksgiving in England. So you can understand that someone that's already feeling a little bit insecure about the relationship is now in like overdrive about this.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Tell all comes. This is how twisted the people, the producers at 90 Day Fiancé have become. So they have this argument, but it blows over. He leaves. They say goodbye. She's super upset. He's feeling emotional. Whatever. It is so important for 90 Day Fiancé to cause the drama they know you're there watching for, that at the tell-all, the reunion special, where they all come back together, you get a little update, you get to ask the hard questions, answer the hard questions.
They bring this girl.
They start talking about Thanksgiving dinner, and they find the girl from the bar, and they bring her on. Dude, because this guy claims, it's just platonic. I'm just that kind of guy. I make friends everywhere I go. What are you talking about? There's no way she could have, no way that woman could have ever thought that I was hitting on her. No way. And anytime you say that, anytime you say, you are basically full of fucking shit.
Right.
Anytime you say, trust me. I mean, it's just like, you're just telling people that you're not being honest. Yes. Trust me, I know. Anyway, so he... I mean, the tap dancing that was going on that stage. As this woman is ready, this woman's coming in hot, too. She's ready. I think now that she knows the situation, she's probably coming in to bust this guy's chops. Like, hey, dude, you were hitting on me. You did make it sound like you were going to invite me over on a date. And I didn't know that you had a girlfriend already and was waiting for you at home to cook her Thanksgiving dinner. 90 Day Fiancé has found a way to make it so interesting. I mean, honestly, this guy in the relationship is the unstable one. He is quite slick. He is not transparent. He is full of shit. And I think he's dangerous for this woman who is obviously fragile from bad experiences time after time after time. And she's getting herself into another one. And this guy is like the wrong answer for it. And now they're bringing on the girl that he talked to at some random bar. Go 90 Day Fiancé. Ruin everybody's lives live on television.
Jeez.
Oh, man. I love it.
I love it.
I just think it's incredible.
I know. I can't stop watching it now either. I'm back on the single life.
Oh, you're back on the single life? Yeah. 90 Day the Single Life? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that Love Island is a whole shit show. Oh, God, all the 90 Day Fiancés are just total shit shows. Yes. And that marks the 12th episode in 2 months that we've done nothing but talk about 90 Day Fiancé. We're becoming a shill for 90 Day Fiancé.
It's just too easy.
Yeah. So back to the original question. Will you be the kid? Can I sell you? Can I sell you?
Would that be okay? Give me some more context.
All right, here's a context. As we were talking about previously, before we actually started recording the episode.
Now I'm trying to remember what we
said. We just recorded half an episode before Brian remembered that you actually have to press record to record an episode. That hasn't happened in a while. Be fair. Be fair about it. That hasn't happened in a long time. Okay. All right. So we got a couple of responses to our which dive bar would you like us to come to on the TCB tour that is in the book so it'll never happen, but we're just curious as to which dive bar you would have us go. And man, did we get a couple interesting responses. We got a guy, I think it was a gentleman that responded to us about a bar in Virginia. And Chrissy, I'm telling you what, there is no I have never seen a dive bar like this. It is literally the diviest of bars. As if it was underwater at some point. As if it's underwater now. I'm not sure.
Maybe burn.
It looks like an outhouse with a bar. That's what it is. It's an outhouse with a bar. It can maybe fit 5, 6, 7 people in there. I don't know.
And that's perfect for
us. It's perfect for us. That's the size of our audience. Yeah. If all of our audience members showed up, we still wouldn't sell the place out. And that includes us being two of the people that can fit in there. And then there was just a number of other wonderful dive bars. So I got to thinking, what if we did like a TCB con, right? Where we dress up as our favorite TCB character. And,
right.
You know, we can have people from the show come and sign things. I don't even know. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. But what if we did a TCB con? Who would you show up as?
Well, I was thinking about it because we just talked about it in the part that we did it.
That's
record.
True. Yep.
And I think it would be either Teresa Caputo or, let me add in, the magical girl.
Oh, yeah, Starlight or Starbird or Star Sun or whatever her name is.
Yes.
Oh, she would be a good one. You could probably pull that off really well. I would go Frankie B, but I think it's too on the nose. I would like to actually have Frankie B there. If we did a TCB con, we'd have to have Frankie there.
We would have
signing pictures for $5. Yes. Wouldn't that be funny?
It would be amazing. Yeah.
So I think I would go like deep into the catalog, and I would either do like Swerving Irving. I would be Swerving Irving. Or
would you be in a box? Like
I don't know. Yeah. The question is, would I do the alive version or the dead version of Swerving Irving? I don't know. I don't know. Good question. Maybe Henry Fonda, because that's going way, way back there.
Yep.
Or Carl. I would be Carl.
Oh, Carl, for
Carl,
sure.
For sure. Hey,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah. You'd have to, like, go shirtless with some abs.
You want to see my nipples? Is that what you're looking for, Chris?
Victory V.
Victory V, girl. This is the way to the Lord's heart. It's through my penis. I've been telling you this whole time. I don't know what's unclear about that. Leviticus 3 through whatever. I don't know. Is it important? Just know that it's in the Bible. You're not actually going to read it anyway. I just say that. So, girl, this is what I'm talking about. So we get to TCB Con. I put you up on one of those little dunk tanks. I throw a ball. And if someone hits you and gets you in the dunk tank, they get a wet, hot kiss from you. What do you think? We talk Jeff into that, girl?
I think so. Yeah, Jeff would be down.
Sweet. I was talking to Jeff the other day. I was explaining to him that it's possible, it's probable that you have syphilis, and then he should probably break up with you. And then I dropped some fat cash at the front door. Just letting him know I love him. You know, hey, bro, I support you. Sorry about all that syphilis. Here's $10,000. What do you say you take over one of the branches of Hillsong?
Oh, my God.
And I'll take over your position in the house. You know what I'm saying? And by position, I mean behind Chrissy. Hey, Jeff. It's Carl. Just checking in on that little deal we made. Call you later. Send me a picture of your balls when you get a chance. I'm not picky. I just got thrown out of church. I'm not picky. I can't preach on a full dick.
No.
For some reason, the women don't like me. I don't know.
I saw an interview with Carl.
Oh,
man,
God.
Carl
Reese from recently?
He got hired at another church.
He did?
Yeah, like another wing ding.
He's pretty charismatic.
There's no doubt he's charismatic. Yeah. Because he's a maniacal egomaniac.
Yes.
Yes. So, and they all are charismatic. This is why people like Donald Trump so much, right?
Yes.
Whether or not, whatever we think of him, however you ingest him, there are millions of people that are caught up in the personality because that's what narcissists do. They mm-hmm. catch you in their grip. And I'm not saying Joe Biden ain't a narcissist either. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But I think Donald Trump is like the easier example to explain to people because you hear so much more from Donald Trump than you ever do from Joe Biden, mainly because I think it's nap time for JoJo.
Sleepy time.
It's sleepy time for JoJo. I just imagine JoJo with like one of those little hats
and
on.
The nightcap.
Yeah, like the old hats that the old men used to wear with a little ball hanging down. And big oversized pajamas, and someone brings them a cup of tea, and they're like, night, night, Joe.
How did those things stay on when you slept?
I don't think that was the point. Oh, okay. I think the point was to cover your head so that God didn't see it or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows? Good night, John John. So Carl got hired by this other wing-ding, fly-by-night, prosperity preacher, finger-banging, whatever his name is. He got hired by another pastor to preach at this pastor's up-and-coming church. And everybody who's in that community is upset because, obviously, they're like, you're getting fooled by Carl again, right?
Yeah.
But the people at this new church support the whole situation, I guess, at least that's what's being said, support the situation. So Carl's back preaching. And Hillsong itself had their CEO, president, whatever it was, founder, he stepped down because his father was doing some crazy shit to children and covering it all up. And now the church is being sued, as is the Brian, whatever his name is. He's being sued.
Yeah,
but the point is, Hillsong got a new like global ministry preacher, pastor, and it's a couple. And the guy, you got to see this guy. I'm going to ask Morgan if she can find a picture of the new Hillsong preacher. I think his last name is Lou. Chrissy, the guy is in his 60s. He is wearing a skater beanie. With wavy blonde hair, think Spicoli,
okay.
Right? Think Spicoli in his wavy hair,
yeah.
With a skater beanie and skater clothing on. He's in his 60s. I saw his like introduction to the congregation, the big videotaped worldwide presentation in front of. I did not understand a fucking word the guy said. He was like so nervous and so all over the place. But what I did know is this: I am never going to be 60 years old. Still. Shopping at Surf and Sun in Tampa, Florida. I'm just not going to do it. Oh, yeah? My watch doesn't even think so.
I'll make a note of that.
Yes. I'm desperately trying to dress age appropriate. I know it doesn't always happen, but I'm desperately trying to do it. Like age appropriate, but still cool.
Yes, yes. There is that transitionary period.
Yes.
Like with when you get to a certain age.
When you get to a certain age, and that certain age is like anywhere over 27, right. You start having to think about, well, I guess Doc Martens and bell bottom jeans aren't cool anymore. I guess my, Lollapalooza 1997 shirt probably is not the coolest thing. It'll get cool again, but I shouldn't be wearing it at my age.
Right.
That's for the young kids to bring back, not for me. But honestly, that's why when I go to Spain, I buy a new wardrobe. You know why? Because they have clothing that looks cool gentlemen
Those
of a certain age.
The Europeans, yeah.
Yes, they have clothing that fits your swollen prostate. So there you go. I'm looking for it. I'm into it. But I see some of these guys. Some of these guys dress way older than they actually are. And that's a shame. It's a damn shame because you look way older than you actually are. But some of these guys suffer the other fate, which is they are still dressing like techno hippies when they're 48 years old. Look at
my sister and I encountered one at this restaurant that we went to.
Oh, yeah?
A little while back. Well, over the weekend.
Was it the guy from 90 Day Fiancé? Did he belly up to the bar and invite you to Thanksgiving dinner?
I moved to a new neighborhood. I'd never been to this place. And we walk in, and this patron at the bar turns around and is like, ogling.
Ooh.
Yeah, Kelly and I. And we're like, okay, we'll sit outside. On the
double the freshmen, double the fun, double the tits and double the buns.
We're sitting there eating lunch outside, and all of a sudden Kelly goes, you just missed the guy from the bar that just came to the window and looked out.
No way.
And I was like, what?
What?
He did? Okay, that's strange. Anyways, we see the guy a little bit later. He walks out and starts talking to us. He's the owner of the place.
Yeah. Yep.
He was wearing, and I think he was probably in his 60s, he was wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt that was ill-fitting.
Yeah.
And had like a rainbow something on it. And he started talking to us, spittle going everywhere on Kelly and talking about his skater days.
Oh.
He just injured himself.
He injured himself skating in his mid-60s?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's just trying to make you seem... He's trying to make you feel like he thinks he's cool because he's doing young things.
Also, his nose was very red. And he was talking kind
That's
of
the
fast.
Thing about the restaurant industry.
I know. It was difficult. Like,
first of all...
He said he owned that place for 15 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I bet.
Every bit of 15 years or 50 years.
Which makes it like 30.
Yeah, which makes it like 40. Yeah, you get stuck in a time hole. There's a time warp that goes on in the restaurant industry. And some people don't realize how old they actually are.
Right.
Now, restaurant business, I know lots of people have been making a living doing that.
Because
I worked in the restaurant business, I know people that are doing it still to this day, 20, 25 years later. I went to a restaurant... Which is what I might be doing here very shortly. So I'm not throwing stones. A little Rochambeau never hurt anybody. Exactly. Until it did hurt a bunch of people. Until people started dying because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know you're getting old when all the people who were still partying are flopping over like fish.
Yeah.
I go to this restaurant down the street from my house. I've gone there a number of times. I know the owner. The owner is a former executive chef where I was a manager, a waiter, a bartender.
Right, that place.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely human being. And I've known him for a long time. And I consider him a dear friend. But he's in his 60s now. It's got to be, right? And he has nothing but under 25-year-olds working at this place.
Uh-huh.
And there are a ton of them. This place is huge. He owns it. It's extraordinarily successful. But he is always there every time I go because that's what the restaurant business requires that you do.
It does.
Number two, you literally have to pickle your liver. So you have to keep drinking 24 hours a day. And there's no better place to drink than at the restaurant where you buy your own booze.
Right.
For other people to drink. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he is like, I mean, he's going. Like, he's just a kid. He's a kid. All these other kids are keeping him young. Mm-hmm. He's running all over the place.
Right.
He's saying hello. So he comes over at one point. We're talking about the old days. He says, I'm so severely understaffed here, you know, and I got a bunch of kids running around here. So some, most of them don't have experience. And, you know, I'm just trying to like keep the place together. It's so busy. I want to make sure that everyone has a good experience. He looks at me. He goes, Green, you want it? This guy used to call me Green.
Yeah.
He goes, Green, you want a job? And I'm like, I don't. My wife is like, yes, he wants a job.
Yes, he does.
Pick up a couple extra shifts.
Yes. I don't want him in the studio late at night, but the restaurant making actual money, that I'll take. We'll do that. Let's do that one.
Astrid is so ready. She's like, yes, a normal job. But I know if I go into the restaurant industry again, you'll never see me again. I'll be lost to the wind. I'll get eaten by the wolves. I'll be taken away by waitresses and cocaine and Bud Light.
We'll find you with a bottle of Chianti.
Classico. And a straw in my nose.
Yes,
yeah.
In a corner.
Just blood dripping out of my nose.
Yeah.
Oh. We thought he was doing so well. That commercial break seemed to really turn things around for him. I mean, not financially or physically or mentally, but I don't know. He seemed like he was doing okay.
He was on the charts.
Yeah, he was on the charts somewhere. Those even matter. And look at him now. Blood pouring out of his nose. He does, however, seem to be dressing much younger. Are those mom jeans he's wearing? Is he wearing a Taylor Swift t-shirt? No, he's not wearing a Taylor Swift t-shirt. It's Olivia Rodrigo now. Get on with it. Taylor Swift's yesterday's news. Dua Lipa. That's who I'm into now. Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
Holy shit, that girl is gorgeous.
I know.
Isn't she? Know, yes. Like a perfect human being.
I know.
I'm trying to find flaws. I can't.
I know.
Even her music's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's all right.
Dua Lipa was one of the ones I think I downloaded just to kind of see and on the Apple Music.
Oh, yeah. And now it just like keeps playing. I don't even know what she says because I'm mesmerized by her. I am. I'm sorry. I just have to admit it. I am. Dua Lipa. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm probably not going back to the restaurant industry anytime soon.
That's good.
No, I would never survive.
No, I would
never survive. I'm way too old for
that shit. Yeah, it is a young person's game.
But you know who we might see at that restaurant sometime soon is Carl, because I don't think the new church is going to work out either. And that prosperity preaching bullshit, it just keeps on going. It keeps
it
on
does.
Going. There are so many people, I think really, you know, people with the best interest of their organized religion at heart keep on saying the prosperity preachers are bullshit. Stop it. It's enough. They don't need private jets. They don't need, you know, $7 million homes. They can live in a comfortable $500,000 house and drive a nice, you know, used Mercedes around. Like, do we really need to be giving them all these things? For what? So they don't have access to God any more than I do. And I also think that, you know, religion takes the form of the moment. Religion always has taken the form of the moment. New religions pop up, new versions of religions pop up that accommodate what's going on today and here and now. And I think everybody, and I can say this about myself too, I think everybody knows that being able to provide for yourself financially can certainly make life just a little bit easier. Actually, it all stops and ends with money. That's all. That's it. But these prosperity preachers are preaching something that sounds very attractive to almost every human being on earth, which is pray a little, give a little, and you get back tenfold. But I highly doubt that in most circumstances that ever happens. And so the prosperity preaching to me is also just a bunch of horseshit trying to get your money out of your pocket so they can put it in their pockets when they know damn well nothing's going to happen at all.
Well, and it would be one thing, too, if you're saying, okay, give. I mean, I give to charities, and so, you know, give, and then with that pot of money, I'm not going to go get a private plane.
No.
But we're going to go, you know,
do the good works of the Lord.
Homes down in a, you know, a site, whatever.
That's not what these people do. I mean, even the biggest of the big, Joel Osteen, literally shuttered his doors when Houston was underwater after that hurricane a couple of years ago. Shuttered the doors because he didn't want to get the carpet ruined. It's such horseshit. Right? They don't practice what they preach. They almost never do. And I'm sure there are exceptions to the rule, but I'm just talking about the generally known, my ability to It's, I'm just talking about the things that I have time to look at on the internet. Leave me alone. I can hear people yelling at me.
I take a dick and keep on licking.
Yes, I do. Hey, you, my podcast friend. I just popped in to say that you are the best part of TCB. And to show our appreciation, we want to give you a free WWFD sticker. It's the What Would Frankie Do sticker you've been asking for. It's number 4 in our series of stickers, and you get one just for being a friend of TCB. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the Contact Us button, tell us you want a sticker, and drop us your physical address. Those FedEx men's will be at your door post-taste. We want to hear from you, your wild and wacky stories, dating disasters, TCB questions, and now you can ask Brian's mom for terrible advice. Hey, I learned my terrible advice giving skills from someone, and my mom is that person. 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world is where you can send us your questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas. It's a real live phone line where we actually respond. 855-TCB-8383. At the commercial break on Insta and TCB podcast on TikTok. And please do me one more favor. Go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Subscribe to that channel. Morgan does a great job editing the videos to be released on the same day it airs here on the podcast feed. Now let's listen to a word from our sponsors who keep this rambling wreck fueled up and ready to rock. And then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. All right.
All right.
So I thought that with that in mind, talking about Carl, having a little fun with him, what drives me more crazy than a prosperity preacher are prosperity preachers defending prosperity preaching.
Wow.
Okay.
Like Inception.
So, it's like Inception. You're in a hole inside of a hole where they just go on with nonsense. I'm sure they're about to quote some scriptures and stuff like that. Here is a gentleman from the 700 Club, I believe. One of those
the
stations.
Old 700 Club.
Yeah, but this is not one of those old fogies. This is a young guy from Singapore, very famous, up-and-coming prosperity preacher. And he's got some words to say about prosperity preaching and why God actually wants him to be rich.
Oh, okay.
Why Jesus' last will and testament said, you shall be rich. Let's take a listen.
The question on
what... Oh, wait. Without further ado, I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do. I couldn't leave that out, Chrissy.
I know.
The whole crowd would be like, what? I mean, by the whole crowd, I mean arms. All three of us.
The question I want to ask is that, who do they give credit to for their own success and prosperity? Who, to whom, or to what do they give prosperity? To themselves, to their smarts? No, God wants to get all the glory.
Right.
Remember, it is the Lord God who gives you power to get wealth.
So hold on one second. So we kind of dive in the middle. This is like an intro to this video that we're going to watch. But this guy is basically sharing with us that as long as you're giving credit to God, then it doesn't matter how much money you take from people. It's the people who give credit to themselves that really need to be stopped. I'm not really sure. I think you're drawing at straws here, bud. I'm not really sure it makes a fuck of difference who you're giving the credit to when you're taking other people's money and using it for your benefit while they suffer greatly.
And he's selling a book.
Of course they're selling a book. They're always selling some shit.
That teach against that are teaching against the cross.
Wow.
Is that what you just said?
Wow. Wow. Say that again, Betty.
Teaching against the
people
cross.
People who teach that we should not be making millions of dollars a year are basically teaching against Christ. Am I right?
Wow. Wow. So insightful, Betty.
About what Jesus did for us fully at the cross.
Wow. I think many of them...
Okay, just for those of you that are listening, we're watching a split screen here. The gentleman with the accent is talking from Singapore, and then there's two people that are talking from Dallas on this praise show. I think it's a husband and a wife team there. I assume it's a husband and a wife team. And she is just so indignant at the fact that somebody has thought that maybe she shouldn't be making millions of dollars, because that's going against the word of the Lord.
I believe that they're not aware of that. I think they believe they are fighting for the purity of the New Testament teachings and all that. But personally, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy there.
Oh, you do?
Oh, okay.
Because many of them who have come against the prosperity teaching, now I'm against the, I think we all understand and we are all on the same page. We are all against the abuse of these teachings.
Absolutely.
The wrong teachings of prosperity that produces materialism, greed, avarice. We are all against that. But those that are
gay. Let's just breeze right over that part. We're all against that. Then why are you wearing
$50,000
jackets?
Yeah, and rings and jewelry. And there's like a tea set in the back.
There's a tea set in the back. Clearly, he's staying at the nicest hotel in Singapore, which is the most expensive place in the world to travel to, by the way.
Prosperity as a whole is negating the scriptures, because the reason I say that there's some hypocrisy here is because many of them are prospering. They have more than one car. They live in expensive homes. They send their children to the best schools, and they want their children to succeed. But all the while, they are coming against prosperity. So the question I want to ask is that, who do they give credit to for their own success and prosperity? Who, to whom or to what do they give prosperity? To themselves, to their smarts?
Or to Brian Greene from the commercial break?
No, God wants to get all the glory.
Right.
Remember, it is the Lord God who gives you power to get wealth. So if you say that you're against the God prospering people, then how do you explain your prosperity? Who do you give glory to for your prosperity? Your own intellect, your own prowess?
Prowess.
Your financial acumen? Because you'll give glory to someone.
Wow, that's so insightful, Chrissy. As long as you're diverting the attention away from your own bank account and giving the glory to God, everything's cool. It's all good, baby. You need a new plane? Get one. You want a Porsche? Drive it. You want to take that house? Claim it. Claim it.
God, that's right. The one that they say, oh, claim it.
The whole,
claim it.
The starter of all of this, like the head honcho of prosperity preaching, just said, claim it. Just claim it. You want a new house? Claim it. Unbelievable.
So, Joseph, I just want to make a note. That was pretty direct, what you just said.
Was it? Because it sounded like a bunch of obfuscating bullshit to me.
And I don't see him taking notes.
No, of course he's not taking notes. He's got his book in his hand. He's ready to sell that book, Chrissy. Sell that book.
It's the good old Singaporean way.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
Does the guy from Singapore look a little bit strange? Like he's had a little bit of work done on his face?
Something.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I think of Joseph Prince as one of the kindest, gentlest, meekest people.
Kind and gentle?
But you're.
Yeah. You can still be kind and gentle and rob people. It's just fun.
Really, that means something to you. This misdirection of one of the atoning works of the cross, you got a little fired up on that. This is an issue to you, isn't it?
Yeah, the reason being because of this teachings, so-called teachings against prosperity that has caused a lot of people to shun it altogether, and as a result,
he's wearing a $100,000 watch.
Faith is not reaching out to God to even believe for that aspect of their lives. They're so afraid. Pastors are intimidated from preaching this message, lest they be lumped among the prosperity preachers. You know, and like I said, we are all against the abuse, but to negate.
We're all against the abuse, but not particularly. These guys are not against the abuse. That's what they do. They're trying to literally run an end round around you. They're saying that there's an uprising right now about prosperity preaching because there's a couple of people with common fucking sense in their head that are saying this makes not a shit worth of sense. That we are telling our preachers it's okay to have anything that they want for any reason because they are preaching a certain version of the scripture as you should have anything you want at any time just because you pray to the Lord. Doesn't work like that. And not in my opinion, because does it?
No.
Should we be doing something that we're not doing? We need to start a church. I've been saying this for 2 years, and I think it's free, baby. It's time for the church at TCB. Let's get it on. Our first preacher is going to be Frankie B. Our second preacher, Adam the Liar. We're going to get all the big names involved, and we're all going to start preaching the word of the Lord that you need to give us money so that you can prosper. Because that's exactly, you know what, Chrissy? You know what you think about it? I've been doing this my entire life. I've been giving other people money, hoping I would prosper. If I'd only done it the other way around.
The whole teaching of prosperity that God is restoring in these last days, just like in times past, during the times of Martin Luther. He didn't understand about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He didn't touch on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord restored the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our day and age. And then God is restoring the teaching of prosperity. And if God doesn't want us to prosper, then why did Jesus become poor at the cross? Yeah. Why did Jesus say things like, seek you first the kingdom of God and all these things will be taken away from you? Why did he say it? Instead of that, he says, all these things will be added unto you.
I didn't understand a word of that gobbledygook, because quite frankly, it's gobbledygook.
Talking in circles.
Why did he become poor at the cross?
Right. Because he wants
pretty to... sure he got nailed to it. Like, you know, I don't think they left him with any money in his pocket. So I'm just taking a wild guess here.
Why you should go with prosperity preaching? I'm so confused.
He's saying that he thinks that people who are against prosperity preaching are missing the point. That the point is that he should be taking money from his congregation. Yeah. We got a letter one time, and I'm going to paraphrase because I'm just doing this off the top of my head. But we got a letter one time from a woman whose family had been a part of one of these big mega churches. The entire family had been part of it. Since she was like a teenager, they had been going to this church. And she said she had watched as her father and her mother basically bled their accounts dry in order to give to this church as it was building its foundation, you know, whatever the fuck that means, building its foundation. And then they realized, they had like a moment of clarity when she was in her 20s, the parents did, had a moment of clarity that, holy shit, we've been giving all of our money to the church and not keeping enough for ourselves and our own future.
Yeah.
Right? And they, like, she was saying in the letter that they very literally took the tithing principle of 10% of everything that you make goes straight to the church, that they hadn't been able to save. They hadn't been able to do certain things because they were giving this all to the church. Doesn't sound like prosperity preaching to me. It's prosperity for one person, the person heading the church. And everybody else is supposed to, you know, get in line and obey. I only wish we had that kind of power here at the commercial break.
Wow.
We couldn't even get one person to pay for our fucking Patreon. Not one. Not one. Well, we had one. Okay, we had one. We had a few. It was a few. Do you...
doing what she was doing.
Wow.
Pretty dumb, brother.
Did you go to organized religion when you were a kid?
Not really.
For any reason? Like, did you do any organized religion?
Like Easter stuff, maybe?
Easter and like Christmas and stuff like that? Yeah. You guys would show up to like, what kind of church?
My grandfather used to go to like a Presbyterian church.
Yeah.
So,
what's the difference between Presbyterian and Catholic, say?
I think a lot, but
yeah, but like I don't know. What are the differences between Presbyterian and Catholic churches?
Well, there's the whole Mary situation that's involved with the Catholic Church.
Oh, the Mother Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And what did she do? I mean, what was
she had Jesus.
I know what she had Jesus. Jesus Christ. What do you think I am, a moron? Oh, so they don't do Mary in the Presbyterian church.
Mary's around, but you're not really like praying to Mary.
Oh, you don't pray to Mary. You don't think she got pregnant on the whatever.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I didn't go.
You didn't go to learn? I didn't go to learn. I go to gave money. That's what I did. I gave money. Because I went to Catholic church.
I know. You're the one who should know the differences because you went to like Catholic school.
But I went to Catholic church. They didn't teach you the differences in the different religions. That's the problem with the Catholic religion is that they only want you to learn about one religion, their religion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do know this. There was a pretty strong suggestion that you should tithe also at the Catholic Church, or at least donate on a weekly basis. But the priests at the church that I went to locally were some of the most judgmental motherfuckers I've ever met. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told this story, but I walk out of, and by the way, I mean, I won't get into all of this because it's not funny stuff here on the commercial break, but the Catholic Church is fucking terrible from head to toe. And I know this because I have family members that were personally affected by the scandals that have rocked the church. But here's the point about the priests that were in this. We go to church. You know, my mom tries to drag us there every Sunday. I think mainly so that the Catholic Church will pay for our education. But anyway, whatever. So we get dragged to church one day, and my mom is like running late. And so she's like, put on your shoes. Let's go, blah, blah, blah. So Kevin and I put on sneakers, like white sneakers. We go to church. We're leaving. Priest is standing outside, shaking everybody's hands, greeting them. And as we're walking by the priest, he grabs my mom and he says, this is the reason that the Catholic Church is going downhill. The future of the Catholic Church is going downhill. Because your children are wearing sneakers to church.
Reason.
Oh, that's the reason? Doesn't have anything to do with thousands of priests touching young men in inappropriate places? Mm-hmm. It's the sneakers!
Yeah, it's the sneakers, Brian.
Jesus Jones!
I know, you've had a really bad experience with that.
Terrible.
I've had good experiences with religion, like when I have gone to churches, and there's a lot of good people that I know that are, you know, religious, but I know there's a lot of people out there that have not had a great experience.
I'm not putting
a
blanket on people who go to, who have religion in their heart or religion in their lives. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hypocrisy in the dogma of the church, like the people who run the church, the people who hide things about the church, the people who ask for constantly asking for money but give nothing back about the church. That stuff drives me crazy. The people sitting in the pews, I think by and large, are just there to make themselves better people, right? And they find some comfort in the stories or the dogma or whatever it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the assholes who are using God as a front for all of their very human bullshit. And you know what? I'd be able to accept the very human bullshit a lot more if they would just come clean and say, I just want a private jet. Is that so bad? Like, if someone came and said, I just want a private jet. I just want to be able to fly around and not have to go through security and go from this past, you know, this parish to that parish. Who doesn't? Well, then maybe then allow people to make the decision about whether or not they really want to give to that. But what they're doing is saying, you're giving to God. You're not giving to God. You're giving to Lear, the company, to make a jet for me. And who's going to give the commercial break a jet? I would give, Chrissy, I'll give $1,000 to the next person that gives us a private jet. $1,000 to the next person out there who gives us a private jet.
Seems like a good trade.
It's a great trade for whoever's involved, and I just wish that people would come to their senses. You know there's somebody out there with a private jet that's just sitting around somewhere not making much. I don't know if they listen to the commercial break or not, but you know there's somebody out there who could give us a private jet if they so wanted to.
Yes, that's
and
true.
We will happily accept, again, $1,000 to the first person who gives us a private jet. Or we're going to raise money for a private jet with the kissing booth at TCBCon.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what we're going to do.
There you go. It's a private jet fund.
Hey, text us and let us know what you would come as to TCBCon. We're not going to have it. We're just asking. I'm just curious as to who you're going to come as.
We may have it one day.
Yeah. Text us.
But not any day soon.
That's right. Text us or leave us a voicemail. You can now leave a voicemail here in the studio for Chrissy and I, live on air, and your voice might be played on the commercial break. It's an Ask TCB hotline, 626-ASK-TCB-3. 1-626-ASK-TCB, the number 3. If you call that up, you can leave a voicemail, ask us a question, tell us a story, do whatever you want. Do it on that voicemail, and who knows, maybe you'll be on the next episode of the commercial break. Remember, if you do not want your real name used, don't use your real name.
Yeah.
And
make
if you
up.
Don't want your voice used on the commercial break, then text us instead. 855-TCB-8383. 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Two different phone numbers. You know how to do it. Comments, questions, concerns, content ideas. We take them all via text or voicemail. We would love to hear from you. We always respond. So don't worry. You're not talking into the void. You'll be one of few people who have ever contacted the commercial break. We'll get so excited that this phone actually rings. It doesn't matter what time of day or night. I'll respond to you. I'm that kind of guy. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And do us a favor. Go to www.tcbpodcast.com. All the audio, all the video, right there from one location. The entire catalog is yours for the taking. You can also get your free TCB sticker. Hit the Contact Us button. Leave us your address, and we'll send a sticker off to you. Even though we don't know what sticker we're using right now, we'll figure that out. And we will get you a sticker, we promise. I think we're out of What Would Frankie Do stickers, actually. So you'll get the next one. Yeah, you'll get the next one. Also, we would love it if you would go to youtube.com/the commercial break. For fully edited episodes the same day they air here on the audio feed, please subscribe to the channel, like and comment on your favorite videos. Get engaged. We'd love to hear from you. Not actually get engaged, just get engaged with the show. All right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
And I'll say best to you.
And best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.